sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
To the Jeff Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. We always appreciate it. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. That is how you get in touch with the program. A little bit of breaking news here. We'll get the eye on the monitor. We got another shooting. Another shooting in Louisville. I initially said school shooting, but it looks like workplace violence is what they are now saying. Five dead, six taken to the hospital. So another one of these mass shootings. Keep an eye on it. But anyway, you know how these news cycles go. You get a flurry of them, and then suddenly, where the gun control discussion goes. Joining us now, our next guest, always a pleasure to have him on, State Representative Shane Stringer on with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Another one of these unfortunate shootings. Initially thought it was a school shooting, but that doesn't appear to be the case. You know where this is heading. It's headed toward, we need common sense gun reform, these arguments. They seem to be very opportunistic in nature by people. I just don't seem to grasp the idea of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I agree. We already have laws that prohibit certain people from having guns, and we already have laws that prohibit murder and robbery and every other offense. Assault, and yet criminals still do it. So that within itself should show you that you can't legislate an evil heart or an evil mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff in the world, and people it's hard to understand, and I get it. People look at, we got to do something about this, and that's your first impulse, right? Like, well, what can we do? And there's a knee-jerk reaction. But a lot of that emotional impulse just isn't realistic.
No, and that's human nature. Human nature is for us as humans to help and to make things better and safer and to do our part, but at the end of the day, we have done our part. We are doing our part. Law enforcement, we need to support law enforcement. We need to increase the number of law enforcement and cops we have, and that is a proven deterrent to crime is more cops. So, I don't think that addressing the gun laws is going to affect this. I mean, criminals are criminals for reasons. They don't adhere to the laws we have now. So I don't, I just don't know what we're going to expect.
Let's talk about something else, the other shooting that seems to be dominating the news cycle in some way or form or fashion. The school shooting up in Nashville, and you and I are talking off air. There was a big push to try to do something more to secure these schools. They're vulnerable. That's where our kids are. You're looking at some remedies to some of these potential vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I think that we do have an opportunity here in Alabama and across the country to look at passing legislation that would allow certain teachers or employees at our school systems to be armed. It would kind of mimic what the executive order the governor put out a while back. I can't remember, how long ago that was. But, you have somebody, just say, with my experience, 30 years of law enforcement experience, served 10 years on the SWAT team and, have had every firearm training there is. If I was to retire today and take a position as a teacher, it makes no sense that I couldn't be armed and, be able to protect our students and kids, our children. And you have a lot of retired military guys, ex-military guys that have become teachers. And, I think the opportunity is there. I mean, we have a lot of counties throughout Alabama that are rural that, the sheriff's department may only have one or two employees on for the whole county. And, you know, not a lot of other local law enforcement. And I think this kind of fills in the gap on some of those situations that would allow qualified people, you know, under certain situations and certain training to be armed and potentially protect our students.
Well, I mean, there was a big push for some of this a few years back. We need to get back kind of thinking about some of this. And these aren't significant, big, huge, sweeping changes in policy. These just seem to be little things we could do that wouldn't come at a considerable cost to secure schools.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, this executive order that the governor put out years ago was allowing administrators at these schools to be armed. Well, you know, if you have a scenario where the administrators don't feel comfortable with firearms, they're not, active in training and around them, then, you know, I think there's other people that may be qualified at these schools that we need to consider and look at. We have got to do more to protect our children. You know, the situation in Nashville, that person passed up one school that was, in their opinion, better protected, and went to the school least protected and performed the evil act they did.
Right. And, there's an emotional impulse from a lot of people to try to do something more with the firearm side of it. But as long as we have a Second Amendment, there's not much legislating you can do. They look at loophole, gun show loophole or whatever, the usual high capacity clips or AR, anything with AR on it, because they think that stands for assault rifle or whatever. But just like they don't, the remedies aren't going to be there as long as we have a Second Amendment.
No, and I mean, it's the truth of the matter. Anything that we do that restricts our Second Amendment is only going to affect law-abiding citizens. The criminals don't adhere to any laws that we have at this date. So that makes no sense to try to restrict our lawful gun owners and citizens across the state. You know, that's not going to be a solution to any of these problems.
Joined by State Representative Shade Stringer here on the program. Representative, the business of the Alabama legislature continues starting tomorrow. What it seems like a good time legislation and economic incentives probably by the end of the week is what I'm hearing. What are you hearing?
Yeah, that appears to be the agenda for this week. And, you know, we'll see where it takes it. I know we absolutely need to address the good time rules that is going on in our DOC and with our prison system and try to get that under control and fixed. You know, the incentives, we'll see where that goes and how it goes. Not hearing a lot of negative talk on it so far, but, you know, we'll continue to address that, look at it. It's going to be another busy week in Montgomery.
The tax cut discussion also coming up. Have you had a chance to see the Garrett Orr proposal on rolling back the grocery tax?
Yeah, I've looked at it. I get what everybody's saying. I mean, we've got to be a good steward of the taxpayers' money and make sure we're making some wise, prudent decisions in what we do with this excess money. And, you know, I get where a lot of people are coming from, but I'll, you know, with whether we should or should not do it. But I also, you know, think that, if we're ever going to do it, this is probably a better chance now than ever to roll the grocery tax back or to eliminate the grocery tax.
Well, what do you think of that, phasing it out? And I guess if you get down the road and things are like, well, this really isn't working out, I guess you could reverse that, but at least it leaves that opportunity to see how things go and wean yourself off of it.
Yeah, and that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's just another checks and balances that we would be putting in place to, you know, allow us to, I guess, test the waters to see, you know, how things turn out and go. But, you know, of course, there's all this talk of an economic downturn at some point, and, you know, I'm sure it can or will happen, but, you know, we still have to, you know, we can't, you know, we don't mind raising taxes, you know, from time to time, anytime we think we need it or something happens. I think we should be considered, you know, to look at some of these and reducing some taxes when and where we can.
Yeah, well, it's there's been a lot of talk about it. So you wonder if there's some expectation from the public that something is done. What about the talk of the rebate with that? That seems maybe you can't have both, or maybe you can't have a small rebate or something. Anything change there?
Well, you have a certain amount of the legislators that want or believe in the rebate, and you have those that want the grocery tax elimination. So, you know, I don't know if you can have both. I mean, like I said, we do have to make some wise, prudent decisions with our revenue that we have. You know, you don't want to set yourself up for failure. And if we do have some tough times coming, you know, we want to be able to sustain that. We've done that and proven that in the past with our rolling reserves and, you know, with the funds that we've had set aside. So, I mean, during the downtime, I guess, over the last, you know, 7-8 years, you know, we didn't struggle as much with our education system as a lot of states did because of our savings accounts.
Well, tell me this. We keep talking about a economic downturn, a spending economic downturn. Have you had any indication, like, when that is set to arrive? They've been talking about it for about a year now and what they need to do. And I get it. It's good to be prepared for these things, but just what exactly are they telling you guys when it comes to this?
Not really hearing a lot about it. I mean, I'm doing the same as everyone else. I'm paying attention to the news and national news and, you know, watching what's going on in Washington. And I think that until we have some change in Washington, you know, things are going to continue to be tough. We've seen higher gas prices, higher food prices, interest rates, you know, going up. We've seen a lot of issues that has, you know, been a direct result from, you know, the leadership we have in Washington. So I think until you see a change in Washington, we're going to continue to see some of these hardships. And, you know, who knows whether they turn into something, you know, as, you know, something tough as a depression, or if it's just going to be a, you know, some, I guess, some economic tough times for us.
Well, Alabama seems to be poised for a lot of bad things. And I always ask this, like, just as how much reserves does a state need? What is a good what is a good number? Is it like maybe a year's worth of reserves in case the worst of the worst happens or something along those lines? But it does seem to be a big focus of a lot of your colleagues that we just need to be braced for economic calamity. And like you said, until Biden's out of the White House, that's always going to be a persistent threat.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's no different than I handle my own finances at home. You want to be prepared and able to sustain any hardships or downtimes. And, you know, I don't, as far as the time frame, I don't have a clue, you know, how much we need to prepare for and what we need to do. But, you know, I think the state under Republican leadership has done awesome in preparing and getting us to where we're at now. And I think that, you know, we're probably, the state of Alabama is in better shape than probably any other state in the union right at this time.
Update here, shooting at a bank, Louisville Bank here, it appears, representative. So those are typically pretty well secured places, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, and that just goes to show you, I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, an evil person is going to cause harm, whether it be with a firearm or whether it be with a vehicle, a knife, or whatever the case may be. And they proved that to us time and time again. So, Yeah, I mean, you typically have a lot of security measures at a bank. So, you know, it just goes to show you it can happen, and it happens even in the most secure locations.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. But I guess it's going to be the usual rhetoric we hear. Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. And we have talked about this a whole lot. This Aaliyah database and the prohibited users list that was tied to the constitutional carry law passed last year, is that up and running as it's supposed to be? Is it continue to be up and running as it's supposed to be?
It is. Aaliyah did an awesome job in preparing that and getting it up and running even before the bill took place. They had it up and running, probably even a week or two prior to their deadline, which was, I think, October 1st or whatever it was of last year. But, yeah, they've done awesome. It's a great tool, you know, for law enforcement to have that access of who is prohibited. And it ain't just, kind of like the permits where Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 deal. This is a, 24-hour-a-day database that the law enforcement has access to.
Representative, we always appreciate having you on, and we will do this again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
State Representative Shane Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Birmingham.